Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCB 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
It's called Jonestown, The Woman Behind the Massacre. Now, this is primarily about the four women in Jim Jones' inner circle. Now, one was a wife, and I think the other three were mistresses. We'll find out more about that. And it will air on Monday, which is February 26th, I believe, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. So check your listings for A&E to find out your time and place. So joining us to talk about this is a survivor of the Jonestown massacre, and her name is Leslie Wagner Wilson. Oh. And thank you for being on the show, Leslie.
Thank you for having me.
So, Leslie, now just let's kind of run through. Now, this happened in 1978. And so that's quite a while ago, and some of the younger listeners probably won't know anything about this. I was around, I remember it, and how shocking the whole thing was. Just the whole, over 900 people ended up dead in this mass suicide. So, Leslie, how did it start for you? Like, how, first of all, without going into too much detail, but how did you get to be there?
Well, so again, thank you for having me. So I have to make one correction. It was a mass suicide. It was a suicide massacre, because 7 autopsies were done, and those show that there were injection marks in the shoulder blades. So I just wanted to clarify that. But I was brought into People's Temple, which was based out of California, when I arrived at the age of 13, because my sister was on heavy-duty drugs such as mescaline and acid and LSD, and this was, of course, during the Love and Peace Movement and during the late 60s. And so my mother wasn't with Ann. She was a business owner, and a friend of hers told her about People's Temple, who had a youth drug rehab program, and that's how we became involved.
Now, let's jump into the special. So this seems to primarily focus on the woman in his life, in his inner circle, as they call it. So who were these people we're talking about? One was his wife, Marceline, and the other ones were mistresses. How well did you know them?
I didn't know them well because they were in the hierarchy. They were young, Caucasian women, Annie Moore, which was his nurse. I'm not sure if she was his lover, but She was a nurse, and then, of course, she ended up being a murderer. And then we had Carolyn Layton, her sister. And then we had a young woman by the name of Maria Casares. So these women were in their, I would say, early 20s, mid-20s. And Jim just, he was a grand manipulator. And they ended up being, again, lovers and co-conspirators, basically.
So what do you think, initially, they weren't really, there wasn't a big plan to have everybody commit suicide or to kill everybody initially when the group first went to Jonestown, if I'm correct on that.
Well, you're correct, because no one went to Jonestown to die. I lost my entire family. People went to Jonestown to build a community that was interracially, you know, with harmony, and our children were allowed to play freely without the concerns of gunfire or racism or discrimination. Basically, that's why people left the states. They wanted to prove to the world, or be an example, that there can be a community that is self-sufficient and can live in harmony. Unfortunately, that's not, of course, how it ended, but no one went to Jonestown to die. Not one person.
So as a 13-year-old, you must have really, really loved it when you first got there.
Well, I loved it because I was in the States, and what impressed me was the fact that I came from very adaptable household. My mother always took in people. She had a care home which had strangers that became part of the family that were mentally ill. And so I came from a family that was giving. I came from a family that was inclusive. And so when I first walked into People's Temple at the age of 13, I was excited. I was excited to know, because I came from an upper middle class family, I didn't know that people went to bed hungry. I didn't know that people suffered, because that's not my experience. And so once learning this consciousness and this, you know, consciousness of the world and its suffering, I felt proud to be able to be a part of this. At 13, I felt proud.
Well, what's the biggest thing you can say that how this experience has changed you?
Oh, my goodness. It has, it was tough, of course, because I suffered from, you know, I lost my entire family. I escaped the morning of the massacre with the intent of coming back with my father to get my brother and my sister if they wanted to leave. And of course, that's not what happened. So, on the good side, the positive aspects of what I learned was a sense of compassion for people that are in need, right? That are suffering. I learned that we're all connected, right? And that really love is what binds us and keeps us, level and peaceful. But on the other hand, I suffered greatly, as most survivors did. We, you know, PTSD, survivor's guilt, you know, I got into drugs, I was an escape. So life was really tough the first, I would say, almost 20 years. I was functional, but I was hurting inside because the pain was just too great. But I learned now, you know, after the healing, I actually just got back from Jonestown 2 weeks ago and went back to Guyana after almost 40 years. And with that experience came a new peace. I was able to say goodbye to my family. And I have learned that we have to go within so we don't go without, that it's fine to be a believer in anything that's good. But we just have to be careful. We have to watch our steps. And we have to make sure that we're not in an isolated situation where someone's trying to control us and manipulate us. And that's basically what happened with these three young women. Marceline, of course, they were manipulated, and then they became victims, and then they became the victimizers. So they began to victimize people. It was kind of, you know, it was a circle. But I've learned to be grateful, and I've learned to continue to be able to love, right, and to try to give back as much as I can.
So how many survivors came out of the Jonestown?
That's a very good question. There were a total of 30. Our group contained 11 survivors that walked through the jungle 30-something miles to the next town. And then the other portion of those survivors left with Congressman Ryan. And one was one of the survivors was killed on the airstrip. Patricia Parks. So total, it was around 31 people that actually walked out of Jonestown that day and survived.
So, you know, you're part of the group that walked to another town. So did you know what was going to happen? And I don't mean that like, you know, there must have been a reason you guys decided to leave.
Well, there was. And I was, at that point, 20. I was working in the medical field with the doctor, Larry Schacht. I was supposed to be sent to Cuba to become a doctor. And I began to witness things that, to me, weren't correct. There were those that were dedicated and considered some of the hierarchy that received health care. They even received trips to the capital to get to receive medical care. There were those that were potential flight risk who did not get care. And I mean people that, you know, had lupus. And so I saw that discrepancy, and I thought, wait a minute, this isn't socialism. And then it became, you know, Jim became more and more erratic, more and more paranoid. The community was a community that was being worked 10-hour days, 6 days a week, no food, no nutritional food. Rice and gravy was the staple. Exhausted, mentally and spiritually, just exhausted. And so it wasn't the happy place that I first got to. Jim was paranoid, you know, there was a custody battle going on, which helped participate in this whole, you know, entire event. And so I just wanted to leave. I wanted to get my child out because there was no talk of the future. And so on one hand, we did have a couple of suicide trails, right?
Yeah.
Revolutionary suicides, which Jim called them. But I never thought that we would die by our own hand. And remember that we were isolated. So everything that was given to us was given, it was given to us from them. So we really never had a clue what was actually happening on the outside. So Jim said we were under attack. We believed we were under attack. But I just saw this community change, and I didn't want to be there any longer. I didn't want my son to grow up there because, again, there was no talk of the future.
I have to wonder. So there was a point where you started to feel it was different.
Oh, yeah.
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 And what do you think? So, you know, Jim Jones, you say, started to become, like, paranoid and had different, he started to change. Do you attribute anything in particular to that, or is it just something that evolved?
Well, now that, you know, coming back home and years of research and exposure, things that are finally coming out, information that's finally being released and people talking, Jim was on drugs in the United States. The majority of the congregation did not know this. He was already sadistic in the United States, right?
Yeah.
But in Jonestown, he was completely isolated. And because he ran after the article from the New West magazine was going to come out, which ex-members went and exposed some of the abuse that was going on, he became a prisoner in Jonestown. So Jim never, I don't believe he ever intended on making Jonestown his permanent home. So here's a man that's in San Francisco at the height of so much change, right? Social, political change in San Francisco. He's part of the housing commission. He's, you know, being wined and dined by politicians. Everybody adores him. He's being, you know, his ego is being fulfilled. And then all of a sudden he ends up in the jungle, and it's just us. There's no lights, there's no camera, there's no spotlight on him. And his drug use, as I was to find out later, years later, was to the point to where when he was slurring his words, he wasn't sick, he was under the influence. But again, the membership didn't know this, the community didn't know this, only those that were close to him knew that he was abusing drugs. And
yeah.
So we're just sitting ducks there.
Yeah. Well, and I guess you weren't thinking that was going to happen. Now, you said you walked to another town with others. So did you guys not, you weren't able to just ask to leave, or you had to actually,
oh, no.
You had to, I'm just trying to catch the feeling of it. Like, so.
No. Right.
Yeah.
So we were prisoners, basically. The camp was in the middle of the jungle. the closest Georgetown to Capitol was an hour by air, right, that you had to have a plane, and 24 hours by boat. We were up against the Venezuela border. There was a territorial dispute, and that's why they chose that land, because they would, Venezuela would never come in on United States citizens. And so, but we were totally isolated. So when we got there, they took our passports. So we, and once you went into Jonestown, you really didn't go out. So you didn't know what was out there. Jim told us that if anyone tried to leave or escaped, that the Guyanese government, you know, was on watch for us. They would arrest us. They would, we would be under arrest, and all these lies that we thought were true, because how, why would we not think they were true? We didn't know anything else or what we were being told. So no, there was no way to, us leaving. And when we walked to this next town, we had no idea what we were going to face. We didn't know if they were friend or foe. Because again, we hadn't been out. We weren't exposed to the outside. We were actually prisoners inside of, you know, Jonestown. No one could just ask to leave and be able to leave. That was out of the question.
Wow. And so, did you know that there was going to be, well, I guess you wouldn't, but, when they were kind of, you know, there was that congressman there and, all of that activity just before the end, did you see any of that, or did you think that was going well?
Well, you know, we had planned, we had, our leader of the group, his name was Richard Clark, and my friend who allowed me, voted me to go, her name was Diane Louie. So the night when the congressman came on the 17th of November, 1978, I was optimistic to a certain degree. It looked as if it was going well. We did the whole entertainment that we do for guests. You know, we actually had a good dinner, which we rarely had. And so it looked like it was going well until we heard that someone passed a note to one of the reporters saying they wanted to leave. Not only did we know that someone passed a note, but we knew who it was. And that created some tension already in the air, because we're like, oh my gosh, it's starting, right? And we were going to leave that night, but because of that note, Richard said, we're going to leave the next day. So it looked like it was going well. But we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We only saw what was presented to us in the front, right?
Yeah.
And even on Saturday when we decided to leave, the tension in the community was just, you could just cut it with a knife. It was almost, it was so quiet, you know. It was just really quiet. And there was something in the air. I couldn't put my finger on it. And later on, I would know that it was, you know, Jim had other plans.
Yeah. Yeah, and he must have had this sort of planned for a little bit of time, right? It wasn't just a spur-of-the-moment idea.
You're right, because there was cyanide found on the, there was cyanide found that came in months later. Months earlier.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
They were already testing on a pig, I think, to see what the dosage would be. So this was actually something that was, you know, it sounds was going to be put in place. To what degree, we don't, you know, we still don't know as if this just actually just, you know, quickened the plan, or was it plan for this time, you know, if anyone came in like this, because we're just not sure. But I think that, you know, I didn't see it coming from us, even though we had the test, and I wonder, there's time, because I lost my entire family, I wonder at times, did people think it was a test first, because we had them before, and they were fake? You know, they weren't real, so maybe they thought that.
Right.
And also the fact that they were exhausted, you know. But I know that people, I don't believe that, well, children don't commit suicide. You know, there's over 300 children that died. But I just think that there's a lot more to the story. I hope we find out before I leave this world. But it was a horrific, you know, terrible incident. It was the largest loss of life before 9/11 of civilians. The majority of the people were black women. Those were the women that propelled the finances, right? And we do have a new website called blackjonestown.org. It talks about, we're dissecting this, how do black women. My mother was an intelligent business owner. We didn't grow up poor. How did she, you know, what caused her to join and what caused her to stay, you see?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a tragedy. We're going on, you know, this November will be 40 years. And you're right. You know, but what I have seen is I get many requests from students that are doing Jonestown History Project. So this conversation, this dialogue is important. A&E, you know, this is important because kids that weren't even born are interested, right?
Yeah.
And shows like yours. So I thank you for that.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. We do a lot of these things that happened in the 60s and 70s. And we have so many people that are young that are 20 and under. They have no idea.
Right.
It's just crazy. What do you think the biggest thing is coming out of this 2-hour special? What's the most important thing people can get from it?
For me, you know, I wanted to dispel the myth that there was a lot of crazy black folks that just ran to the jail and killed themselves. Right. That was a stigma that I came back to. I'm African American. So I wanted to spell and met that, and I also want the viewers to look to see that even though Jim Jones preached equality, correct, that was not the case in People's Temple. The majority of the leadership was Caucasian, and we look at these for women. Marceline was abused, of course. But I want them to see another side of this. So they could say, okay, well, look who was behind the scenes that we didn't know about, right? That's never been highlighted. Here are these young women. And it's a call to women, too, to say, you have to be careful. They were young, and they were very easily manipulated. And they, again, became the victims. So it's a different dialogue. I've done plenty of documentaries. I've always mentioned this conversation. Let's talk about the four women, the three women. And so A&E has had the wherewithal to pick it up and do it. So I think it's going to be a great I think it'll really be a good show, and it'll give the viewers something else, another dialogue, another conversation.
Well, when we talk about these four women, now, what's your feeling on them? Like, do you look at them as evil and bad, or do you look at them as complete victims, like they were brainwashed? Like, where do you put them in this field?
Well, it's both, actually. I believe that they were young, and Jim was very charismatic, right?
Right.
Where else do you find women can fly all over the world and deposit millions of dollars in the bank and have access?
Oh, yeah.
What organization do you know? You see, so there's this path. So he fed to their egos. He fed to their need for, I don't know if it's a father figure, attention. Not sure, because I didn't have that close relationship with them. But they became victims because he manipulated them. And then, as with Jim, power, right, can leave a lot. Some good, some bad. So I don't look at them as evil. I look at them as active participants and planners of this, because they were so loyal to him that they went ahead and proceeded, even though he was not in the mental or physical condition to carry this through himself. This did not have to go as far as it did. They could have stopped this, but they, because of their loyalty to him, they went ahead and proceeded with it. Jim did not miss the boys, and Jim was from, you know, even the night before, you can see some of the videotapes of that day. He was slurring his words. He looked like he was under the influence of something. He was in no condition to make a decision, but because they were, yes, brainwashed, right?
Yeah.
Because we cannot forget this was a cult. Some people don't like the word. It was a cult. People were controlled. That they took the entire distance of carrying out his wishes. I don't hate them.
No.
Listen, I had to forgive Jim Jones, right? That was the beginning of my healing, was to forgive Jim Jones. I've forgiven them in the same way that I've forgiven Jim Jones and the other active participants who we do not know. Larry Schaff was one of them, the doctor. So I've had to forgive them because I have to let go in order to be able to heal, right, to get through that.
Right. Yeah, you have to move on. And I just wonder, but, you know, this whole Jonestown scenario and the four woman and other people that might have been involved that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that us as a human nature has changed because of this? Have we learned from this, is my point. Like, could this happen now?
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of think it
of
could.
Course, mm-hmm.
I don't know about
I
you.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right, because look at the climate that we're in.
Yeah.
You see, Jim Jones came at a time where, again, there were social political changes. We were in a whole different world, right? A whole different. Oh my gosh! And I was only 13. I was marching in peace marches before I went to People's Temple, and so we're in this. We're so divided, and we're disconnected. So. Could it happen again? Unfortunately, I believe so. We have churches that are running off the same type of control, mainstream churches. I get calls and letters, emails about mainstream churches that are cult-like. And so we have to be careful. But can it happen again? Unfortunately, I can't say no that it couldn't. I just think people are when people feel threatened and they feel lost and they don't, and they're confused and normal things are slipping away from them I just think it's a possibility. I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. I see it a lot. I see a lot of people that get, like you said, there's a lot of division. People select their enemies as people they don't understand or know.
You're so, right.
And it's
but it's so important if people see something, to say something. You know, if you have a friend that you see the changes and they're here in a group, I don't care if it's, I've been in network marketing and I found myself thinking, goodness gracious, I'm going off the deep end here a little bit, right, with my enthusiasm. So you have to be careful, and that's peer pressure too. There were things that I saw early on as a kid, you know, 15, 16, I wondered about, but when I looked at everyone else, the adults, and they're clapping, they're singing, they're happy, and they don't say a word about what I just heard that bothered me. So then I think, guess what? It must be me. It's got to be just me. So
There's something about a group or mob mentality, I guess, that you know, everyone gets involved. It's how were the people to you when you came back to the States? How did you find the reception? Were people mean, or were they just wanted to stay away from you? Kind of what was the reaction to where you went?
I didn't give them opportunity because I changed my name and I went underground. I might have been on one. I wasn't even on the television show. I just went underground. But I know from what I read in the newspapers, I felt my goodness, what kind of they're looking at us, right? So that was a secret for me for almost 20 years. When I wrote the book, I had to email my friends because I didn't know who I told and who I didn't. It was that, you know, my family died in a car accident. One of my bosses said, gosh, I thought you were grew up as an orphan or in foster care because you never spoke about your family. So the stigma was there, though. People said, why are all these people following this, you know, white man in the jungle? And my dad was, you know, Caucasian.
Yeah.
So I didn't grow up with color. So for me, he wasn't any different than my dad, right? But there was a stigma, and it's still, I would say, probably the last, 20 years, it's changing, the conversation's changing. People have more empathy, and I think they could see that, gosh, that could have been me. You know, maybe I would have joined this, you know. But they weren't very kind. You know, they weren't,
there's a general concept that, oh, you know, same as people that get involved in crime and different things, and they say, well, I wouldn't have never done that, or they never, you know, so it's kind of a judgment call people make,
right.
You know, and it's kind of silly in a way, because I guess it's a defense mechanism. They don't realize that we're just humans, and we're all subject to things that happen, so, you know, crazy. Well, it sounds like it's better now for you, like, to be out, but I couldn't imagine. You had to keep it a secret, so you had to create a whole kind of false life to present to people?
Yes. On the inside, it was horrible because I was hurting. And then no one said, I didn't get any counseling, right? So I'm left to my own devices to try to work through this tragedy, not understanding it. So it took me a long time to understand it. What I had to do was I couldn't go to churches. I tried. It was very difficult. So I just had to develop this personal relationship, right, because I am a believer,
right,
with God. And I had to do it on my own and get through it. And so my healing really didn't start until 2007. It wasn't that long ago. I was functional, barely, right? Yeah. I was functional, but I hit it well. And I think, I tell people, I should have won an Oscar in Jonestown because I was constantly thinking about leaving. You had to put on this facade that everything was okay. It was difficult, and that's why I tell people, when you're a tragedy, you have to talk about it. You have to talk. Even if it's talking out loud, you have to speak of it, right? You have to speak on it because it will tear you apart inside because you're not healing.
Yeah.
And you miss out so much when you don't follow that process. But you have to have a great support system too. And my grandparents just weren't cut out for that.
Well, and I was going to say that would be a terrible burden to live with and not be able to talk about it to get through it. So you kind of put yourself on hold for 20 years while you're living a different life, and you can't let go when it's still in your mind, and especially when you're young, 13, 20, it's so young to deal with that.
Right.
Amazing.
Right.
I tell you, it's what you've been through. Well, I guess it's made you a very strong and good soul now. It's come, it comes out in a way, but at this point in your life. But wow, I couldn't imagine. I think it's amazing what you've been through, I don't know what I would have done, but. Wow. So now you have a book as well, which you were mentioning. Let's give out your website and where people can look you up or maybe communicate and pick up your book, as well as the show coming out. Where do they get you?
So they can go to www.LeslieWagner.com. That's my webpage. You can order the book, Slavery. It's Slavery, S-L-A-V-E-R-Y, of Faith, on Amazon. Is probably the most, pretty much anywhere else, but Amazon is where it's kind of housed. And you can email me if you want to have a conversation. I do speak to people that reach out about whatever they want to talk about. I've been through homelessness and drug addiction and you name it, I think. So I have a lot of experience in a lot of different areas, and I'm just, I'm here to serve. That's what I've discovered. I'm here to serve. So thank you for that.
Yeah, well, that's great. I'm glad it's, I don't want to say turned out great, but I'm glad it's at least, you seem to be resolved of a lot of the early stuff. So that's amazing. So the show, it's on A&E on Monday, and that's the 26th, and it's at 9 p.m. Pacific or Eastern, and of course, check your local listings of how you get A&E, and it's called Jonestown, The Woman Behind the Massacre, and our guest has been Leslie Wagner-Wilson. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here.
I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.